All right. Well, good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here with you. I bring you greetings from Reverend Akeem Chirwa at the Baptist Theological Seminary of Malawi, where I have the pleasure of serving on the faculty there. Again, most of you don't know me, so I just want to spend a couple of minutes telling you a little bit about my background and maybe help you get some of that. So my name is Phil Barnes. I am the son of a Baptist minister. I've been in ministry since 1998, which means for many of my spiritual fathers in this room, I remain very, very new to this work, and I am aware of that, that I'm speaking to men and women that have been in this ministry for much longer than I have been. So I just want to, again, give you a little bit more of a background. I'm trying to coordinate two computers here. There you go. Before moving to Malawi, my family lived in West Africa, and I taught at the Ghana Baptist University College's School of Theology and Ministry. And you had to say all of that, the Ghana Baptist University College School of Theology and Ministry. But it's functionally is the Ghana Baptist Seminary. And I also taught at the Baptist Theological Seminary in Kaduna, Nigeria. I've taught courses at these different institutions ranging from spiritual formation to Islam to missions to systematic theology to church history to New Testament to Old Testament and kind of whatever was needed from semester to semester, teaching at certificate and diploma levels. So kind of a wide range of things. Before moving to Africa, however, you can see there we lived in a Muslim area of Central Asia. And that's the image on the left, and the image on the right is of us in Nigeria and Kaduna. And both my MDiv and my PhD are from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, where my focus was missions and world religions. So one of the reasons that I mention all of my personal, educational, and work experience is because there are men and women in this room that have been my supervisors in various aspects of my life, whether it's been work or school or whatever. So I'm looking and seeing Jeff and Barbara Singerman, who supervised us while we were in West Africa. And I see Zane Pratt, who was my regional leader when we were in Central Asia. Chuck Lawless was my dean at Southern Seminary. Deanna Schatz was our mentor when we first arrived on the field in Nigeria. Dr. Chuga was my president in Kaduna, and Reverend Adu is somewhere. Where is Michael? Michael there was the associate dean of the school when we were in Ghana. And if I've forgotten someone, I do apologize. And of course, Kevin continues to tell me what to do. So thankful for all of these men and women and their investment in my life. And so, yeah, that maybe just gives you a little bit of background for us. Here is a picture of my family. My wife, Laura, is a pediatric clinician. In the States, we call it a nurse practitioner, but basically it means she kind of acts as a primary care provider, and she does that there in Malawi and has an opportunity to use that, actually, to reach out to what we call Asian-African population in Lilongwe, that as far as we can tell is not being engaged by any churches or any mission organizations, but these guys have been here 2, 3, 4, 5 generations, and I'll meet some of these guys, and so, where are you from? And they say, I'm from Malawi, and my grandparents came here in the 19th century. So, but as far as we can tell, this is a largely Muslim and Hindu population that nobody's reaching out to, and through her work at a local clinic, she's able to connect with some of those families. And my son Daniel on the right is actually a student here in Kenya at Rift Valley Academy. I was here about a week ago visiting him, and our other son, Jonathan, there on the left, just finished grade 6 and is still with us in Lilongwe. Only my students call me Dr. Barnes, and maybe only Americans will think this is funny, but sometimes they call me Dr. Phil. And but I hope that you'll just call me Phil. That's what my friends do. So, again, that's probably more than you needed to know about me. So more importantly, what is AB 316? And contrary to Kevin's pronunciation, it is not AB 316. It is AB 316, Africa Baptist 316. and we'll get you the background to the 316 in a few minutes. But if you've heard of Ab 316, it's probably because you're one of the authors that either me or one of my teammates has recruited to be a part of a book project that we're working on. And if you've heard of Ab 316, it's probably because you're one of those authors, and we're going to come back to that. And then if you haven't heard of this, then I want to give you a bit of a background to who we are and what we're doing. First, as you can see from our logo, and once again, Dr. Jimmy Bledsoe put together this logo for us, very intentionally wanting to show that we are a part of Ab10 and we are not a separate entity. Instead, we are a task force from within Ab10 that has been given a specific role. So what is that role, you might be asking? So I'm glad you asked. And in order to answer that question, I want us to look at a scripture here. A very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of us that are concerned with the purity of Christ's bride and the health of the church. We know that these are words that that Luke recorded as Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, and they were true then and they are true today. Let me read them to us. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. These key verses 29 and 30. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And then verse 30, men will rise up even from your own number and distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you with tears. So this warning was one that Paul gave 2,000 years ago, and they're seeing it played out then. We know that from the history of the New Testament and the history of the early church, and it's continuing to play out across the world. And we're concerned about how that's playing out here in Africa. Notice that Paul said that we should be concerned about savage wolves that are coming in from the outside, but then also people from their own number who are going to rise up and distort the truth and lure disciples into following them. So we're seeing this reality across Africa, not just across Africa. As Dr. Mburu pointed out yesterday, the problems that are here in Africa are not uniquely African, but they are indeed African. And we're not the World Baptist Theological Education Network. We're the Africa Baptist Theological Education Network. So when we talk about concerns that we have for Africa, we're not trying to throw darts at African churches. We're not trying to throw darts at African brothers and sisters. We're concerned about the health of the church, the purity of Christ's bride. And so that's why we're going to point out some things that are concerns, but it comes out of a concern that Paul left for us to be on the lookout for savage wolves that will seek to devour the flock of Christ. So earlier this week, our team met. I'm going to introduce our team in a few minutes. But our team met and we talked about some of these realities. I'm going to mention a few of them, but this is not going to be an exhaustive kind of list. Yesterday when Liz was talking, I thought, wow, this is great because it's just really preparing the way for us. And she really set us up for these realities, these different distortions of the gospel, these distortions of the truth that are here. And she said one thing. She said, you know, she's perfectly convinced that Africa and the African church will be an influencer in the future that is to come. The question remains is what kind of influence that will be. And Ab 316 exists to try to help us as African Baptists to ensure that influence is going to be one that is gospel-centered, that is founded on the scriptures, and that promotes the health of the church. So with that in mind, let's look at a few of what we're calling false theologies or aberrant theology that is already here in Africa and that might be coming even in Africa. First one we have, classic liberalism. We know that classic liberalism has found its way into Africa. Sometimes this influence happens when our pastors and our pastoral students are sent off continent to study in liberal institutions in North America and Europe, and they come back with false theologies that they've picked up in those places. Classic liberalism can also influence our schools through outside funding and training that comes in from off the continent. When we as IMB left theological institutions, there was a vacuum there, and oftentimes that vacuum was filled by those who would come in with funding and would teach false theology. My supervisor in my PhD program used to say, the one who pays the piper calls the tune. And so what we've seen is those that will come in from the outside, willing to fund programs, willing to fund pastoral trainings, and they come in with false theology, and that, oftentimes, tragically, we've been led astray. Vostell listed open theism. Open theism is a concept that may not be openly, clearly taught under that guise, under that title, but we're seeing it creep into our churches when we fail to teach a robust biblical theological idea of the Lord's sovereignty over all things. And then finally, finally on this slide, another form of aberrant theology is the LGBTQ sympathies that are happening around the world. And I talk to my students and they say, well, it's never going to come to Africa. Brothers and sisters, it will come. It's already here. And let me mention one thing here, and I hope you'll excuse me, and I don't want to step on any toes here, but some of the times when I talk to my African brothers about these concerns, the response will be, no, here in our African culture, we'll never accept that kind of thing. And if that is our foundation, if our foundation and response to these realities is our culture, that's not going to be an anchor that will keep us for long. If we say, no, the Bible doesn't allow for this, the scriptures are clear in teaching on this, then we have a rock solid foundation upon which we can respond to these realities. Now, as we're speaking about these things, we also want to realize that as we respond to things like LGBTQ, we must respond with compassion. We must respond to people that are trapped in a system and a lifestyle of sin, just as we would respond to those who are caught in a system and lifestyle of sin that might be from a witch doctor background or from an alcoholic background, right? This is how we should respond. It's with compassion, but compassion continues to call sin, sin. It continues to call people out of sinful backgrounds and into repentance and faith. So, aberrant theology is abounding around the world. These are some of the realities that our team talked about that is happening here in Africa. Our next major category of aberrant theology we're seeing in Africa are different cult groups. And I put this slide up and said, all right, can we immediately identify who these groups are? And of course, on the left, you have the Jehovah's Witness and all of their paraphernalia. And then on the right, unmistakably, right, who is this? Right, the Mormons and their, I don't know if there's a place somewhere that just manufactures the white shirts for those guys or what, but they always have the white shirts with the name badge. I make sure I never go outside any long way wearing a white shirt. And if I do, I don't want to make sure, I have no name badge or anything. I don't want to be confused with these guys. But they're everywhere, hey? I mean, everywhere we go, we see Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. And of course, now when I was growing up in the U.S., and of course these are American-born heretical cult groups. When I was growing up in the U.S., the Mormons, their pitch, the way that they sold themselves was, we are the true church. Other things are false and we are true. But now the tact that they're taking is, we are one choice. We are a denomination. They're wanting to say, we're just like you. And that's a false teaching. They're not our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are lost people that need to be won to the Lord through repentance and faith. So cult groups are here. They've come in. This is a great example of what Paul prophesied, right? This is a great example of savage wolves coming in from the outside. But even now, we're seeing cult groups growing up from African soil. Groups that have come in have started to grow up from here. So I was talking with my brothers on my team, and they said, oh, it's not just the Mormons. It's not just the Jehovah's Witness. And my Nigerian brother is able to tell me about groups in Nigeria. My Botswanan brother is able to tell me about groups there in Botswana that are native born in these places. And only you in your context will be able to know all of those, but we know that they're there. And we know that oftentimes they're going to take the tact of saying, no, we're just like you. We're another form of Christianity, when in fact they deny key aspects of sound doctrine, like the humanity of Christ, like the deity of Christ, the doctrine of the Trinity. All of these groups have to be met with sound biblical responses. So all of these issues represent challenges to our faith and continue to be problems throughout the continent. The conclusion of our group is that the most clear and present dangers to the Baptist faith in Africa are two overlapping groups. We continue to treat them as two groups, but they have a significant amount of overlap, and it's ones that we've already mentioned this week, and that is the prosperity. The first one we'll mention is the prosperity gospel. Now, we know, of course, that this message is no gospel at all. This is, we call it the prosperity gospel. I don't even like it when I put it up there. I probably should put the gospel in quotation marks or something, because they call themselves the gospel. This is not the gospel. This is not the message of the life, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. This is a false teaching that, as Dr. Mburu expressed yesterday, exists to feed the false teachers at the expense of the poor and needy. As Kevin mentioned yesterday, the prosperity gospel may have had its origins in the United States, but we're no longer in need of relying upon false teachers from America, because false teachers have grown up from within Africa. It's being promoted by so-called pastors who are not pastors, who are not shepherds. These are wolves that have come in to devour the flock. And they're seeking to do nothing other than feed their own bank accounts and feed their own egos. We have to start calling these things what they are. Our group has seen that this is a clear and present danger to the Baptist church in Africa. The second group, overlapping group, again was mentioned yesterday. Neo-Pentecostalism, we'll come back to this later. But for now, I'll mention that this movement, as demonstrated by Randy Arnett's work, has infected even our Baptist churches. An inordinate emphasis on religious experience over the authority of the Bible is leading to so-called pastors who abuse people who remain, again, sheep without a true shepherd. So that's the reality. False teaching abounds both in our communities and even in our churches. And Ab 3:16 is Ab 10's response to this reality. And so our role is summed up in our mission statement. Now I'm going to do something I normally don't like to do, which is to read to you a slide, but we felt like it would be good just to get this mission statement in front of you. I think this is the one that's in the program there. But we've tweaked it just a bit. One of the concerns that we had was to make sure that we see that Ab 3:16 is an integral part of Ab 10. It's not a separate group, so we've changed some of the wording there just slightly. But let me read it to you. We are a task force of Ab 10 concerned with protecting the integrity of the gospel. We research and address aberrant doctrines. The main two and overlapping groups which we are currently researching and addressing are Neo-Pentecostalism and the prosperity gospel. We also seek to how we also study how these false doctrines impact the evangelical faith and seek a response to these new emphases. We will undertake publications and multimedia materials to equip Christians with biblical truth and to promote the evangelical faith. So that is who we are, why we exist, what we are doing. And again, we're doing this under the umbrella of the Africa Baptist Theological Education Network. So finally, we get to our name, AB316, tagline, preserving the gospel, safeguarding the scriptures. And you see these three scripture passages that we derive our name from, 2 Timothy 3:16, John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, and these are verses that you all know well. So let me introduce you, finally, let me introduce you to our team. I am just one of the members of this team, so let me introduce you to our team. If you gentlemen will make yourselves known as I do it, Phil Barnes, that's me. Baz Basera there from Zimbabwe. Doctors Matthews Ojo there from Nigeria. Jack Ronto here from Botswana. Trevor Yoakum in absentia. Trevor's still in the States, should be back on the continent next month. Serves in Togo. And last but not certainly not least, Brother Meshach Zulu from Zambia. So each one of these men has contributed greatly to AB316, and I personally am thankful for their fellowship and encouragement over the last few months as we've been working together. So just a bit more of a history of our team. The team was assembled, as I think Kevin mentioned this the other day, the team was mentioned or was assembled by nominations given by this group. After we left, we ran out of time to kind of form a team before we left last year. But after we left, an email was sent out saying, okay, this is what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to form this group. And please send me your nominations. And Kevin collected those nominations. And that's who is here, is your institutions and you as individuals nominated these various individuals. And so once the team was formed, we called a meeting to figure out what our next steps were. So the first meeting was in December 2018, and then we met just 2 days before this meeting. So that's kind of a bit of our history. The first meeting took place in Johannesburg, and at this meeting, we kind of got together saying, what are we doing? What exactly? We knew the general outline of why we were a group, but what specifically are we, who are we, what are we going to do? This is where we laid out a vision, came up with a mission statement, came up with a name, and we made concrete plans for our first steps. And unfortunately, Baz is not in this picture because he took the picture, but he was there. Yeah. I got back from that meeting, and my wife was very mad at me because I didn't take any pictures, so anyway, so then I made a better effort this time and got a proper picture just out in front of the Brackenhurst sign here. And again, we met, I guess that would have been Monday and Tuesday before this meeting began. We discussed the progress so far and dreamed about plans for the future. And so that's where I want to move to now, is to start talking to you about where we have been and where we, under the Lord's grace, we will go. So first steps, we came up with the idea that the first steps we wanted to do were to establish a online presence. And we said we need to be on social media, we need a website, and then the kind of step 1A was we felt like we needed to write a book. And again, if you've heard from us, it's probably because you've been asked to contribute to the book, and I'm going to come to that in a few minutes. When we said, yeah, we need to do a book, but we said, hey, it was 2018 at the time, 2019 now. The reality is that we can get online and we can start disseminating information, that way a lot faster than we can possibly publish a book. So, we immediately, or actually just within a few weeks after our meeting there in Johannesburg, we started a Twitter account, Facebook account, and a website. And when I say we, I mean other people, because I didn't do much of anything. Baz started our Twitter account and our Facebook page, and William Hahn there in the back set up our website, which is now live. And if you go to it, you'll probably crash the internet in this room, so don't do that just yet, but maybe afterwards. And if, again, maybe you've seen some of that, we're starting to pick up some followers. The latest thing that we have in this regard is a WhatsApp group. And as you go to tea on the table that's outside the doors here on my left, there's some tables there. There's a sign-up sheet. If you're interested in being a part of that WhatsApp group, just put your name and your phone number, including your country code there. Baz will add you to that WhatsApp group. It's going to be a one-way street on that, okay? It's going to be a news disseminating kind of thing, kind of a broadcast group, so that when we have information we want to get out to you, it'll be going that way. And again, when I say we, I mean Baz, because he's the one that does all the work. I just stand up here. Well, one of the reasons that we thought about multimedia presence was this reality. I found this slide quite fascinating. Share a population in sub-Saharan Africa with access to the following things. 39% of sub-Saharan Africa has access to mobile phone, which is more than access to electricity, sanitation, financial services, or paved roads. If we want to communicate in Africa, the way to communicate, apparently, is mobile phone access. The articles that I've read about this say that Africans are jumping over laptops and going straight to everything's on smartphone. There's no programs and things to send to the laptop, but instead, how can I access something in the palm of my hand? And this is going to impact everything from news dissemination to e-learning and everything else. So Africa is online. Another image just showing Africa, the digital frontier, the mobile market increased fourfold in about 5 years in Africa. So Ab316 must have an online presence. And again, we would be very interested in you following us on Twitter, joining our Facebook group there, and signing up for the WhatsApp group in the back. The big idea is that Africa is increasingly connected to the rest of the world. And again, Africa will both receive information and be giving information to the rest of the world. So having an online presence is going to be absolutely essential. So that was kind of step one, a step that we were able to do, again, almost immediately. I think by January, the Twitter and Facebook page were up, and just in the last few weeks, the website has finally gone live. It's William's been working on it for several months, but now it's finally live, and you'll find a link there back and forth from Ab10's website to Ab316 and back. But the next step was the multi-authored book project. So if you've heard of Ab316, it's probably because you are one of the authors who has been recruited by me or one of my teammates to be a contributing author to this book called The Abandoned Gospel. And if I remember correctly, I think it might have been Brother Jack that came up with the title, which I really love, The Abandoned Gospel, because we see that the gospel, the message, we won't call it the gospel, the message that is being preached by these groups is in fact not the gospel, but the gospel has been abandoned in favor of a different message. So we have 24 different authors that are collaborating to write a book, and most of them are in this room. So in fact, if you are one of these authors, would you mind just standing where you are? I want us to see who's been working on this. Okay. So again, thank you. So you look around. These are the brothers and sisters that are working so hard. Thank you so much for that. Represent a cross section of Africa as best as we could. Again, trying to think about who is going to be able to speak into those different contexts. So we have West Africa, East Africa, Central Africa, Southern Africa, all represented. So I'm thankful for each one of these men and women who have donated their time, their expertise, and their efforts to this book project. Our jumping off point, if you will, is this book that most of you, I'm sure, have read or at least familiar with, The Pentecostalization, the Evolution of Baptist in Africa. And in the fifth chapter of this book, Randy lists key characteristics of Neo-Pentecostalism. In the 12th chapter of this book, Randy lists foundations for church planting and foundations for church development. These lists became the outline for our book. So we said, yeah, these are jumping off points. These are where we need to go. That we're going to say, okay, how has this happened? How has Pentecostalization happened in our churches? And what can be our response? And so we are writing this book because we believe that these two groups represent departures from the faith delivered once for all time to the saints. And so in addition to being the first phase of our work, we are planning some more phases, which I'll talk about later. But this is, the first phase of our work. We're prayerful that this book will become a catalyst for other groups to begin producing their own material for use in their own languages, own context, etc. So, but to the book itself, we are working with IMB, who has agreed to copy, edit, format, and publish the book. And then working with Brother Ken Mbugwa from Ecclesia Africa to work on distribution here in Africa, and as well as some follow-up material as well. So we are very thankful for those partners. Plans for the future. We are dreaming big dreams. We see two major phases to come. The next two phases would be rolling out the book. We would love to have accompanying AB 316 conferences in your various contexts. These could be regional, and so we are looking for conventions, unions, fellowships, etc., all around Africa that would be willing to host AB 316 events in which we can raise awareness of this issue and seek to equip people with a response to prosperity gospel, Neo-Pentecostalism. And then the second phase is to develop AB 316 discipleship materials, and we are very aware of the need for both literate and oral resources across the continent, and we are again, in the planning phases of thinking of how can we develop taking this book, which in the end is probably going to be about a 300-page book, and condensing it into bite-sized pamphlets and things like that that can be distributed that would also be developed from your context and for your purposes. So what we need from you, we need your help. First things that you can do is to continue to pray that the gospel would not be abandoned, but in fact that AB 316 would be a useful tool in the Lord's hands and that he would use it to confront false theologies and false teachings that are happening. You can join our Facebook, follow us on Twitter, join the WhatsApp group to keep up with the latest things happening and to get prayer requests. You can submit articles for our website, and I'm going to give you a email address in a few minutes, but you can submit articles for our website. You can volunteer to host these AB 316 events. And we were talking yesterday, one of the things that we would like to do even next year in 2020 would be able to get a 10 or 15 minute slot at your annual meetings. There's convention leaders represented here, and if there's a possibility to get one of our team to come and to talk about AB 316 at whatever you call your convention or fellowship or union or whatever meetings that you have each year, we would love to be able to be there. And again, help us to develop future materials, and we are very, very open to your ideas. So let me go to this one first. That is our email address, ab316info@gmail.com. M fell off the end of the screen there. But it should be ab316info@gmail.com. And then if you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, you can also get us there by direct message and whatnot. So